This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Medlin.
Heyo.
In the hizzy on a Monday from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, where the answer to the question I posed at the end of Friday's show of which of these two series, if either, or both, or neither, I think I've covered all the options.
Zero.
Which will still be going on? And the answer is none of them. Neither of them.
Yeah.
Dunzo. NBA and NHL, we will talk about those momentarily here. Greg Peterson will join us, talk Major League Baseball. Dallin Cuff on what has been an awesome World Cup so far. Are Survivor entries looking pretty good already?
Well, let's go. Well, of course. What would anybody else expect, Gil?
That's right. From us? Soccer? Are you kidding me? Wes Reynolds a little later on. It is U.S. Open week at Shinnecock Hills. Wes Reynolds will discuss with us. Weather is a factor, it looks like. You know how weather reports go. But anyway, on a Monday, that's how it appears. So you might have to handicap around that. Adam Burke on Major League Baseball will dip into some NFL awards a little later on. Our NFL betting guide is coming out on the 22nd. So that's a week from today. Our stuff that we're writing is due this Thursday, Kelly Bidlin. Just a reminder here. Because you know me. I'm always aware of deadlines here at the network.
My homework is in. It's done.
Done.
It is on our document, ready to be edited and proofed and whatever. But my English is perfect.
Your English is perfect on that?
Yeah.
I saw yours. I have one elaborate one. You went one elaborate. So first of all, there's a grid for all, like a whole bunch of VSiN hosts and regular guests. Typical.
Oh, you went to the grid.
Division champs, yeah. Super Bowl, conference champs, that kind of thing. But then we also offer our best bets. And I saw you did one pretty elaborate one and one pretty straightforward one, correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
I would think they're pretty straightforward. Well, I mean, both of them I've talked multiple times about on this show already.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think mine is going to end up that way. I like one above all. I don't know whether to talk about it on the show or just wait for the guide to come out. But
we'll wait for the guide and then we'll talk about it, right?
Okay. All right, we'll do it. Let us discuss, though, first of all, let's do this in most recent order. Let's do it with the Stanley Cup final ending last night here at T-Mobile. The Carolina Hurricanes are your Stanley Cup champions. Congratulations to all their fans, all their backers who had the Hurricanes in whichever fashion you might have had them. They beat the Golden Knights last night, win the series 4-2. And like we will say with the New York Knicks, they sure deserved it. Carolina, the better team up and down. After the Golden Knights took the 4-0 lead in game 3, remember that game where Mitch Marner had the hat trick in 6 minutes and 10 seconds? The Golden Knights coughed up the lead and eventually won it in overtime to take a 2-1 series lead. From that point forward, Carolina outscored VGK 16-6 the rest of the way. 16-6 the rest of the way. It was reminiscent of year one for the Golden Knights when they played the Capitals in the Stanley Cup final. Golden Knights won the first game, and then the Capitals outscored VGK the rest of the way 16-8. Caps scored 20 goals in that series. I guess Hurricanes even scored more in this series. And remember the question that I asked of Jake Hahn on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. This was after Game 3 when the Golden Knights were up two games to one, and I dared ask him the question because even though they were up 2-1, Hart looked very, very vulnerable in net. And I dared ask him, hey, do you think John Tortorella, because Rod Brindamore had made the change in goal from Anderson to Bussey. And I dared ask Jake the question, should the Golden Knights do that? And Jake, who's super Canadian polite, right? But I could tell, didn't want to laugh at me, but sort of was like very kind in being dismissive and saying, yeah, it's not going to happen. And then Stormy, right? Both Stormy and Jake know hockey so much better than we do. And Stormy, after the show, she was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And then an intrepid reporter after game 4, when the series got knotted up at 2 games apiece, dared ask John Tortorella the same question. You going to go to Aiden Hill? By the way, any chance of that? And Tortorella said, stupidest question I've ever heard in my life. Well, I don't know if either of those questions was that stupid in the end. Yeah. I really don't.
It's always like one of the toughest things that you and I always talk about. Not like we're the biggest hockey handicappers on the planet, but the whole goal, switching the goalie, I always find fascinating, right? Because do you stick with what's got you there to that point? It seems often when they make these changes to be too reactionary, in my opinion. But, man, I know a lot of times you got a couple really good guys in net, and in Carolina had multiple options to go to there. And it is always fascinating to me when we get in big series when coaches decide to do that.
Yeah, Cap scored 20 goals in 5 games in the year one of the Vegas Golden Knights season in the Stanley Cup final. The Carolina Hurricanes scored 24 goals in 6. So it's sort of reminiscent of that. And then Jordan Staal, boy, oh boy, if you had Jordan Staal for Conn Smythe, good on you. By the way, Rod Brind'Amour wins as a player with the Hurricanes, the former Hartford Whalers, by the way, Whalers fans rejoicing up in Connecticut. He won it in 2006 as a player, as a captain with the Carolina Hurricanes. Now he wins it as coach. Jordan Staal becomes the oldest player to ever win the Conn Smythe, 37 years old. 17 years between championships for him. He won it as a wee lad, the 2009 Penguins. 37 years old. Now, look at this. Is from Josh Ingles over at Covers, who put his these are Jordan Staal's Conn Smythe odds in sort of in real time order here. He opened at 300-1 before the Stanley Cup playoffs. Remember, Conn Smythe is for the entire playoffs. He opened at 300-1, right? 16 teams going. Jordan Staal, one player on the Hurricanes, 300-1.
Right.
Before game one of the Stanley Cup final, he was actually backed up to 500-1.
How the hell was that possible? Okay.
Okay, so he's 500-1 because he had other teammates that were much more worthy at that point. More worthy, let's not say much more worthy, but more worthy, let's say, with the Hurricanes. So before game one, he's 500-1. Now, game one of the Stanley Cup final, he has a goal. Game two, he has a goal. Game three, he has a goal and assist. But at that point, remember, that was when the Golden Knights led 2-1. So he only in quotes, went from 500-1 to 100-1, not because of his performance in the first three games, as I just said, but because the Hurricanes were down 2-1. Then he scored early in game four. His odds dropped real time, live odds to 40-1. And then if you recall, his second goal in game four was to break up the 3-3 tie, the one where he got fed the puck. Wes Jarvis was in the corner, sent it over to Ehlers, who then passed it to Staal, who, falling down to his right, flipped it over Carter Hart's glove, or to actually touch the glove, and went in. From that point, he was 7-1. It dropped from, so within that game itself, from 100-1 to 40-1 to 7-1. Then he scored again in game five. Carolina went up 3-2. At this point, he's 3-1 after that goal in game five. Didn't have a point last night, but that was enough to get him the Conn Smythe. Again, oldest player to ever get it. Congratulations to Jordan Staal. Congratulations to the Carolina Hurricanes. They were the better hockey team, man. And if you're a Vegas Golden Knights fan and you have a moment to breathe about it, now you can sort of put it all in perspective and say, you know, we were like a game or two away from not even making the playoffs. A point or two, right?
Totally.
So what a run it was, just not meant to be in the end. And you've been to 3 Stanley Cup finals in 9 years, and you got one cup. But I do think that, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Jeff Hoos, who used to run the RA Sportsbook. He's a big Hartford Whalers guy back in the day. He's a big hockey guy. And he was saying, he goes, you know what the knock is on Torts up here? Torts, who had this great record, John Tortorella, he goes, the knock that we always thought about him throughout his coaching career in the NHL was go up 1-0 and then pray. But he could do that whenever he had great goaltenders, right? And that was his sort of description of Tortorella's coaching career. I don't know how accurate that is or not, but you can't do it when your goaltender is just letting everything go by.
Yeah, having problems. Yeah, 12 goals in the last 3 games. Ouch.
24 in the entire series. Carolina deserved it. So did the New York Knicks. And we'll bleed over into the next segment about the Knicks. But the New York Knicks beat the San Antonio Spurs in 5. They, of course, do it famously on Saturday night on the Spurs home court in a magical playoff run we are likely never to see again. They were down 2-1 to the Atlanta Hawks in the opening round series, and then proceeded to win the next 3 games in that series, then went sweep, at one point had gotten to 13 wins in a row when they won the first two against San Antone, end up winning 15 of 16 playoff games to close it out. And more impressive, if it's even possible to be more impressive than that, 15 of 16 playoff games, mm-hmm. Kelly. Remember, we were saying not only the greatest 11-game stretch or the greatest 12-game stretch or whatever it was, 13-game stretch in the history of the NBA, but the history of the NBA regular season or playoffs. And they're doing it in the playoffs and into the final. The nature of those wins against the Spurs. Do we have the, by the way, the win at 94-90. Do we have the live win probability percentage one first by any chance, Danny? Because this is the amazing one. This is from Tomer Azarli. According to ESPN Analytics, in the four games the Spurs lost in the NBA Finals, so not including Game 3, they had a 91.6% chance of winning Game 1, up 13 points midway through the third, a 72.8% chance of winning Game 2, up 2 points with a minute left in the fourth, a 99.6% chance of winning Game 4, up 20 points with 9:33 left in the fourth, and a 95.4% chance of winning Game 5, up 10 points with 7:54 left in the fourth. The Spurs had 14-point leads or more in every single one of these games, including, of course, the 29-point lead in Game 4. Any one of these individually in previous years, we would be talking about at length.
Mm-hmm.
This was four of them in a row. Optostats, there have been 48 total five-game spans by teams in NBA history, regular or postseason, where they led by 8-plus points at the end of the first quarter in all five. In 47 of the 48, the team had a winning record over the five games, all except the Spurs in the 2026 NBA Finals. They went 1-4. Oh, there's more of these superlative stats, and they're the only way to put it in proper context. And like with Vegas Golden Knights fans, if you're a Spurs fan or a Spurs backer, there's nothing you can say. They didn't deserve it. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code for more at sharpplays.com. We get tweets beating the book. Sean's Fox Plays, he is still not happy about Jordan Stahl winning Conn Smythe. He said they single-handedly changed an award for the last 50 years. He must have been first in goals scored to win. No, that's Stankoven. He must have been first in assists. No, that's Blake. They changed the league to he deserves to win it to he earned it. Changed the award to that, he said. Michael Burns is happy about it, though. He said, I was late to the stall party, but got 100-1. I'll take it. Big thanks to JD. That's our buddy Jonathan Davis. Good on you, Michael Burns. It should be pointed out also, because I cited this stat on numerous occasions, that the 1988 Edmonton Oilers had the record in the 16-win playoff format ever since that was installed. For the best playoff run win-loss record, 16-2. They won the Stanley Cup in 1988 with 16-2 record. These Carolina Hurricanes were 16-3. I mean, that's how dominant they were.
Pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good. Kelly, this is from Shrek McPhee. How is Wemby 7'5" and has no game with his back to the basket? Best player in the NBA? Hell no. Defensively, probably. And Mark Gupta. Wemby reminds me of early Jordan. MJ was taking a beating, wearing out, but realized he had to get his body ready for extended playoff runs. He went on a ridiculous fitness program, added muscle, etc. Will Wemby do the same? That's a great point. It's a great point. You
I think
fill
that's,
out.
That's very fair. I mean, his fatigue was definitely an issue. Kevin, and like, you know, last I checked, defense is part of the game, right, Go?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm checking. Yeah, that's correct. That checks out. Kevin Downs, my brother from another orange and blue skies. Don't underestimate coaching experience in Brunson. Can't wait for the parade. Hey, I'm not the only one to have underestimated the Knicks.
Man.
Good on them.
Real quick, just to finish my one thought from there, Brunson's awesome. But, like, Brunson, I feel like, is the one part that we knew was awesome. To me, this story is about the development of Karl Anthony Towns and what Mike Brown did with this team. And
they're
that
great.
OG Anunoby shot, like, 56% through the playoffs. He was incredible. And then Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges, who fell off towards the end. What's the quote, Gil? Winning means you never have to say you're sorry. Five first-round draft picks. It doesn't matter anymore.
All worth it.
All worth it. New York Knicks championship.
All worth it. They will always, for me, for the rest of the time, they will always be remembered as a team that no deficit was too big to come back
from. It was incredible. It was incredible.
What do you say?
In the clutch like that.
Incredible.
You do have, Captain Clutch, Jalen Brunson. I mean, he becomes what your all-time leading point per score average in the fourth quarter of NBA Finals. It's incredible.
Greg Peterson joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81, one of the most entertaining Twitter feeds across the entire planet Earth,
yeah.
I have to say. Greg joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, talks of Major League Baseball. Greg, I won't belabor the Twitter feed part of things because we're obviously talking about your dating life, but I noticed the saga continues. My only question here today about this is, do you ever consider, and people can go to your Twitter feed and sort of get the latest details on it when they want to, do you ever consider perhaps changing up the pool or the methods for which you are trying to get dates? Going to different places, perhaps not doing it online, whatever the case is?
All the time. You don't know how much I could wish I could meet someone outside of an app, but... That said, as we know in lovely Las Vegas, that can be very, very difficult. I had someone suggest you should go to casinos to try to pick someone up. I don't think that that's where I want to be.
That's probably
meeting people to hook up or anything like that. That probably would not be great, to say the least. I've had someone offer to go to church or something like that.
Yes.
The challenge isn't finding a date over at church. The challenge is finding someone under the age of 55 at all at church, male or female. So. I've been trying.
All right.
Trust me, I have been trying, and I look at all these, and I'm like, man, there's just nobody to be met there. Like, you always hear about these stories about people, how they met in the grocery store and everything like that. Where's my happy ending?
The grocery store.
You're praying for it to be somewhere, some way there. It hasn't been there yet, and I do mix up a lot of different apps. I'm on, like, five or six different of them. I'm always looking for different sources. Right now, we're just having a little bit of a struggle. So I treated myself to Texas Roadhouse last week. Made me feel great.
There you go. Greg Peterson, everybody.
I was like the super bad line. You don't want to meet a chick at a bar, man. You gotta go to other places like a spin class, farmer's market, pumpkin patch, given the time of year.
Pumpkin patch. Well, Greg, listen, maybe one day it will require a change of venue. Do you think you'll have to move one day to find true love? Will that be how it happens?
I don't know. We shall see on that because I never really had success in the great state of Wisconsin either. Mm. Ironically enough, my best triumphs were when I was in the city of Portland. And
best triumphs.
Portland is a very interesting city, to say the least. I was a good one-man wolf pack out there in Portland. So
wow.
Maybe we need to just go back to Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Well, we all wish you luck. We're all rooting for you. That's for sure. Let's get to the Greg Peterson Fab Five. Beginning with the Marlins and the Phillies, this just in, the Marlins won the race to 10 in the month of June. Like everybody saw coming. They have a 2-win lead in terms of the market for the most wins in the month of June. They're 10-2, for God's sakes, taking on their division rival Phillies. What are you playing here?
Oh, they have been tearing it up in this month, and that 2-game lead, I think, is going to be dwindling after today because they've got Ryan Gusto on the mound. Nomei Gusto, the fact that he's got a 6 ERA in 9 innings thus far this season, and before you say that's a small sample size, had a 5.57 ERA between the Marlins and the Astros last year, was giving up a home run and after 9 innings. Zach Wheeler is also giving up more contact than in the past. His strikeouts per 9 rate is as low as it has been since 2020. His fielding independent is more than a full point higher than his ERA, and I've just always noticed this with the Phillies. They always do such a better job with their offense at home rather than away from home. That dates all the way back to last year. Has been a Phillies team that's been a little bit rough on offense. We saw that over the weekend when they got one whopping hit against Jacob Isurowski. They got shut out yesterday. I think this is a nice bounce back spot for them. Took the Phillies on the run line at right around even money, and I'm in on that total of 7 after the over.
Royals are taking on the Nationals at Nationals Park in D.C. tonight. We're not quite at the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season, but without question, one of the biggest surprises juxtaposed against what we thought pre-flop, what the market thought pre-flop, are these Washington Nationals, who are 37-35 through 72 games. Conversely, the Royals, there's a lot of baseball folks who thought the Royals were going to be good. Not really. You're on the Nats again tonight.
Yeah, I was not a believer in the Royals coming into the season, and looks like they're going to be starting Mitch Spence, who he just made a Triple A start a few days ago, so he's going to be on short rest, trying to be able to give the Royals anything whatsoever. You're probably going to be getting a lot of the bullpen, and that's not a good thing. For the Royals, they are a bottom five team in terms of bullpen ERA. For the Washington Nationals, number one in terms of run creation this year with 5.4 runs per game, and I'm a believer now in Jeromel Alvarez. He's got about a 370 ERA. The fielding independence is even lower. He's getting over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, keeping the ball in the yard. Royals offense dead last in terms of run creation away from home, getting like minus 130, minus 135 on the Nationals. Sign me up for that money line.
All right. I mentioned the Marlins were the best team thus far in the month of June. The worst team has been the Cincinnati Reds. They're 3-9 with a minus 26 run differential. The great days of March, April 2026 are far behind them. The Mets are at Cincinnati at the Great American Small Park today, where the Reds are a minus 135 favorite.
Yep, and I think that this is a good bounce-back spot for the Reds because, for one, the Mets have been a good bounce-back spot for a lot of teams this far this season, and they're going to get Tobias Myers, who's going to start here for the Mets. He's got a 405 ERA north of a 450 fielding independent. David Peterson should be coming in after that, and I love the last name. Don't love the fact that he's got a 575 ERA, backed up by a bottom-10 offense in terms of run creation, and Chase Burns has really been one of the few bright spots here for the Reds recently. 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, sub-225 ERA. I think that he's a Red stopper after it was a rough series for them against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Reds are right around minus 135, like them on the money line.
Padres and Cardinals, our old friend Lucas Giolito against Dustin May. The total is 8.5.
Yep, I think that it's going to be May-day for runs. I'm going to take a shot on the under because with Dustin May, well, he's got an ERA of a 422. Fielding independence more around a 325. Swing and miss stuff is starting to come back for him. He's dealt with a lot of injuries throughout his career. For those that remember, he was a big-time up-and-coming prospect back when he was with the LA Dodgers quite a few years ago. Seems to be putting it all together. Don't have a lot of faith in Lucas Giolito, but I do like that Padres bullpen. Top three team in terms of bullpen ERA. They've got great depth there, and Padres out of 30 teams there at 30th in terms of run creation. They just have not been able to put up runs on the board. Fernando Tatis Jr. has two more home runs than the three of us. Not a place where we want to be. So 8.5 total, I like the under.
And then two teams that by any measure have been disappointing record-wise at this point in the season based on where we thought they might be before the season started. Tigers are at the Astros, with the Astros a slight favorite.
Yep, I'm taking plus money here on the Tigers. Would like to be able to get a little bit more than like plus 110, which I'm seeing right now. I was able to find a plus 120 overnight personally with Troy Melton. He's been a nice surprise here for the Tigers. Not getting a lot of swing and miss, but he's been able to keep the ERA below three, has good command, and Kaiwei Tang, he has been a guy that's been giving up 4+ walks per 9 innings for this Astros team that has a bottom 10 bullpen in terms of ERA, so with the Tigers being able to get plus money on them, plus they're getting back the likes of Gleyber Torres, Kerry Carpenter, who have dealt with injury, took a shot here on the Tigers on the money line.
Greg Peterson's Fab Five, Marlins, Phillies over 7.5, Nats over the Royals, Reds over the Mets, Padres, Cardinals under 8.5, and the Tigers as a slight dog over the Astros. Greg, thank you, and good luck with all things, if you know what I mean.
Thank you, and I'll probably need it.
Greg Peterson, everybody. Country Club and next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Hello.
We had tweets beating the book. Kevin Cochran bet the Rangers yesterday based solely on the fact that the Red Sox were 0-9 on the season on Sundays coming into it. Needless to say, the Red Sox are now 0-10 on Sundays. We're doing that now. 0-10 on Sundays. Who knew? Now I know. Terry Elkins met my wife in the back room of Walmart. The back room? What?
Oh, whoa.
I never mentioned that we both worked there. She hates it. I make it sound a little nefarious. That's great. Nice job, Terry. Met her in the back room. Chance Copperpot. I think I missed it. Did listeners tweet negative things about Portland? Not really. It was people from Portland saying, yeah, we're weird.
Yeah. Yeah, not at all. Greg said he loved it, and then we had others chime in, yeah.
Chance didn't wait for it. He didn't wait for the clarification. He goes, it's all true. The food is terrible. The people are mean. The weather is bad. The airport sucks, and the forest smells like maple syrup. Oh, there he goes. I definitely didn't choose to move here. Wes Reynolds kind enough to join us for a second segment. Wes Reynolds won the number one He's got a college baseball play coming up, and we'll, of course, talk U.S. Open with him. Last thing about the basketball or golf, what we talked about last segment, you are watching a whole bunch of morning shows, and the Knicks are making their rounds, and you said what about them?
Yeah, these guys, it's a good thing they have sunglasses on, because the ones that don't look like they're on another planet right now. It's I guess they've done Good Morning America. I just happen to have the Today Show on in the background, and they're doing their rounds. So I guess it's a good thing they had a day in between. But look, I don't want to hate on the Knicks. Maybe I do because I'm a Pacer fan, and there's that old Hicks versus Knicks rivalry from the 90s. So hopefully the Pacers get back to the final, get redemption next year. But Jalen Brunson, I think last year, you know, because we live in this hot take environment, right, or whatever that show is called, Hot Take. And I think it was the former Duke guard, former Bulls guard, Jason Williams, that said Jalen Brunson's the greatest all-time Knick. This was last year, by the way. And he had said that, and it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, he's got to win a little something, something before you consider that. But damned if he didn't do it over the weekend,
yep.
Gil.
Sure did.
I think you're putting him up. Jalen Brunson, I think you got to put him up there if Willis Reed as the greatest all-time Knick. When you win the first championship in 53 years, and, you know, they're a rival, and I didn't want to see him win, even though OG is a fellow Indiana Hoosier. But one of the things I did want after the game that did amuse me in watching this run, I wanted like a live stream from Mariska Hargitay from Law and Order, who is one of the celebrities that are at that court side, because her and Jalen Brunson are like homies, like they're friends. And she was just going crazy after they won game four. She was like living and dying as Taylor Swift is sitting next to her, just feeding her margaritas. And she is just loving life right now. Still looks great, by the way, at 62. I have to give her that. But, you know, congrats to the Knicks. But I just think it was like the Spurs. They weren't ready for the smoke. Like, they weren't ready for the moment, I don't think. And maybe a young team like that needs to go through the pain. You know, players and coach, you know, including Wemby, who is up and down in the series, and Mitch Johnson, who did not maybe make the best tactical decisions in the series. But I think the Spurs and the Thunder, even though this ended in disappointment, they're going to be at the top of the Western Conference for several years to come. So they will be back. But one way to get back is maybe start Dylan Harper.
Yeah.
Like, he's your best guard. Yeah. Don't have him off the bench. Have him initiate your offense. Like, he's going to be a future all-star for many years to come. The kid's a great player. You know, go ahead and trust him a little bit.
Knicks deserve all of it. Hope they enjoy their every moment of their rounds and the parade and all that. They just an epic, epic playoff run for the New York Knicks. My buddy Jeff, who's also, he texted me, goes, most underrated part of the championship is that now a generation of Knicks fans right behind him. He says no longer need to pretend that blanks like Stephon Marbury or Carmelo Anthony are beloved franchise luminaries. I think that is such a great comment. All right.
John Starks gets moved up to the top, like the 600 level in the garden now.
That's right. Okay, college baseball. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. Alabama plays Texas in an elimination game here this morning. And then it is Oklahoma and Georgia, the winner of which will be in the Catbird seed in bracket two. You have a play in this game.
Yeah, I think both favorites, by the way, today, if you want to go run line. So that would be Texas over Alabama, and then Georgia over Oklahoma. It's -2.5 in that one. And you could see that the over's getting bet in both of these games because you don't have the aces on the mound, because everybody for their first game is going to put their big gun. Like, Georgia had their big gun pitcher on Friday that had the Saturday that had the 15 strikeouts. So probably getting higher scoring games. I like Georgia here, and I've been riding Oklahoma. I bet them in the supers against Kansas, and they could put up a lot of runs, so they might get their fair share. But Georgia was dominant against Texas, who a lot of people thought was the sleeper coming into Omaha. I think Georgia gets away from them, so I did lay the 2.5 runs. I know we don't really do that in Major League Baseball, right? You know, if you're laying run line, it's always 1.5 and just the juice moves. But in college baseball, they move it to off-board runs, so you get some odd numbers. So Georgia -2.5 tonight in Omaha.
There you go. Okay. It's golf. RBC go okay for you?
No. As a matter of fact, that's why I'm enjoying the World Cup, to be honest with you. Mm. It's like, oh my God, this is what it's like to win bets, you know, in some of these other sports. But the RBC did not go well, and especially when it's a guy that you've bet a few times and hadn't gotten there, and then you don't bet him. You know, congrats to Bud Cauley, though. Bud Cauley, by the way, his first PGA Tour win in his mid-30s on the PGA Tour. This guy was, like, going to be a future star, and then he got into a bad car accident and missed basically a couple seasons. Like, he's been dealing with the repercussions of those injuries for years. So, you know, it was good to see him get home. I wish I was just aboard him at the RBC. But not my best tournament. So hopefully our national championship this weekend at the U.S. Open goes better.
Yeah, have we had more rando winners in the PGA Tour this year than most years?
Man, you know what, Gil? It's starting to feel like it a little bit. The one I'll say, and I feel like I've said this about a couple times, those tournaments of Wes, I thought that tournament and that course was getting real boring. At least Bud Cauley went out and won the thing. And it feels like we've said that a couple times this year, but like Matt Fitzpatrick almost backed his way into another win somehow mm-hmm. this year. But no, Bud Cauley, great back nine, going absolutely nuclear there at the beginning. Goes out and win it. Great story for golf. But yes, Gil, I think that that part of it is true and driving people like me and Wes a little nuts. Yeah.
And our guy James, who was leading after two rounds, trying to win his first tournament as a pro.
Yeah, he plummeted.
Jacked it on
Saturday. Don't even
on
know
Saturday.
Where he finished. Brooks Koepka, yeah. Who Wes and I were both on and mentioned right away and this time last week. He looked great through two rounds and then terrible on Saturday. And withdraw. See you later. I'm heading to the U.S. Open.
The old WD. Speaking of the U.S. Open, Wes, Shinnecock Hills. Scottie Scheffler plus 455, Rory McIlroy plus 950 to win, John Rahm plus 1025 at DraftKings. Everybody else 18-1 or longer. Long shots coming out tomorrow with you and the boys, Kelly and Matt Brown. What are your preliminary thoughts?
That this is going to be very, very hard, and it always is at Shinnecock. And I believe if you go back the last time that the U.S. Open has been at Shinnecock, I think it's been held there like four times since Ray Floyd won it in 1986. And there were like three players, by the way, in those four U.S. Opens that finished under par at the U.S. Open where they had an under par winning score. So
I love
it's going to be tough.
Love it's these kinds of tournaments. This is what I live too. For with golf. Yes.
I do too. It's going to be very much like Oakmont last year, you know, maybe not with the weather playing such a factor, but this is going to be hard. This is going to be a Northeast course, thick, rough, narrow fairways, super fast greens. So yeah, if you like grinder golf, this is for you.
Are we going to have, because there's supposed to be a big wind on Friday. Now I know it's Monday, you know how weather reports go, weather forecasts go. But right now, as we sort of look at this, is this going to be one of these tournaments where we kind of have to wait till Wednesday to figure out if this is going, you know, okay, it's Wednesday now, we can sort of solidify wind is going to be a big deal. And let's say we figure it out that it's going to be the afternoon on Friday. I'm not sure if that's the case, but let me just give that as an example. And then bet accordingly based on who's playing early that day, sort of thing, late Thursday, early Friday.
That's a little bit what I'm going to be doing. Obviously, you know, having to do long shots on Tuesday and then putting out the column, I'll have some selections in there, but it might not be a full card because of that. And especially if you're betting first round leader, don't rush to bet it. Like, don't worry about the number because people can be number snobs. It's like, well, you could have had that at 75-1, but you still cash a 50-1 ticket. Like, it's like, okay, yeah. You know, I missed the best number. So what? I just cast something 50-1 on a first round leader. So I would definitely wait on that to see, you know, if there's an AM PM bias, which there sometimes is with the wind is a little bit more calm in the morning. So, that is something I will definitely do, but, looking forward to it. This is always my favorite major because it is so hard and because it is such a grinder and you're having these guys just have to fight for their lives and make like bogey saves just to be on this. And I like that. I don't like guys when they shoot 15 under in a major. So
like
give me the chaos and the carnage.
I want one person under par.
You might not even get that this week.
Or not that at all. I can't wait. Wes, appreciate it as always. Long shots tomorrow with Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown coming out tomorrow for the U.S. Open. Appreciate it, Wes. Thank you.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Coming back, a little heat check on some MLB awards and Adam Burke to follow on A Numbers Game.
game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Can I interest you in the early bird special?
For sure.
The early bird special. The early boy. Next week, VSiN releases its NFL betting guide. That is 1 week from today. Packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the upcoming season. Lock in your early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. And be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And the author, he doesn't take credit for being the author. He's going to say I'm overstating this. But the force behind all of our betting guides. Force, is that too much also?
No, I think it's good.
The juggernaut.
The driving force.
The juggernaut, the driving force behind, that's what I'm looking for. Behind these guides is the great Adam Burke, who joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Adam in full betting guide mode. How you doing, man?
I would go with Master Organizer.
Okay.
For the NFL betting guides. I have a lot of help with these things. Matt Devine does a phenomenal job with the design. Zachary Cohen, my senior editor, Michael Dolan, another one of our editors. I get a lot of help with these things because I've got a great team here at VSiN. So I know it sounds daunting when you think about all the team previews, all the features, all the best bets, all of that, but I got a really strong team here, and I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish and what we're going to accomplish next week with that guide on Monday.
NFL betting guide 1.0, correct? 1.0. There will be revisions.
Yeah, so we put this one out. We want to make sure that people can beat as many of the futures prices that they want to that are out there in the market and, you know, kind of get a lay of the land, right? I mean, there's so much going on in the sports world. Even though the NFL is king, it's very easy to lose track of transactions that happened or, you know, there's 10 head coach changes this year in the NFL. So it's a good way to kind of look into these teams a little bit, kind of get your feet wet heading into the season. But then the 2.0 guide, which will be Monday, August 31st, that'll have, you know, more concrete best bets from our hosts and contributors. And also updates on these teams post preseason, you know, because injuries are inevitable in a violent sport like football. So, you know, you definitely want to get some updates as we head into the regular season. But I think this is a great guide, you know, to kind of get things going, especially if you're going on vacation, right? It's a good compliment. Read it on the beach, read it by the pool, read it while you're avoiding your children on vacation, whatever the case may be.
Wow. Avoiding the children.
I think it's a great time of year for us to be doing this too. Cause I noticed while I was shopping around stuff, this is like, I've almost started to hate it. We've brought this up, Gil, of like when we get out of the Super Bowl, every sports book has every market available like right away. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes it tougher to bet. This time of year, though, with that being the case, you see where some books have started to adjust on some things and where some are still sticking to kind of their openers. So there's some wildly different numbers right now. I think it's a good time to start shopping around.
Are you as, I don't know if amused is the right word, but are you as tickled sort of by, you know, because one, we have a grid we have to fill out with our division winners, who we think are going to win the division, who's going to win the conference, who's going to win the Super Bowl. But then we're also given, you know, carte blanche to give best bets, whether that's awards, whether that's divisions, whatever, right? Or season win totals, playoffs, whatever. Are you as interested in how different VSiN hosts and guests approach that? In other words, some are these elaborate manifestos, and then others are like, Cowboys, that's it. You know, like it's so interesting to see how quickly or how well thought out or how straightforward some of those are.
Yeah, I think it's always fascinating, you know, especially because, you know, take you and I, for example, right? We're both big time data guys. We love to dig into the advanced statistics and metrics and all of that. And that's kind of our handicapping style and our handicapping process. Whereas other people, maybe it is a little bit more straightforward. Maybe it's just, you know, hey, the schedule doesn't line up well for this team. They've got a stretch of a lot of road games in, you know, a few weeks, something like that. You know, everyone kind of does things in a different way. You know, at the end of the day, we're all trying to get to the same finish line, which is to cash a ticket. But yeah, I think it's really interesting to see the diversity of the mindsets, of the philosophies, just of the, you know, best practices that each one of our hosts and contributors has in terms of getting to that ultimate end goal. So I definitely think it is really interesting. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to Drew Dinsick, who I know is a regular guest here on A Numbers Game. I know he's talked about alt win totals forever.
Yes.
And this is an article that I've put in the NFL guide the last couple of seasons. And I just want to mention this. You guys were talking during the break a little bit about some of your NFL thoughts. Over the last two seasons, so 64 team seasons, 25 of the 64 teams have been plus or minus 3.5 wins on their season win totals. So there's definitely some money to be made in that market if you're able to correctly isolate those teams. And that's why, you know, having this guide when we put it out is a good starting point for something like that.
Such a great point. And Drew, yes, Drew deserves all the credit because the betting markets with all season win totals used to really be mispriced. Now they didn't, you know, they're not giving us as much bang for their buck as they, as we used to get bang for our buck. But yes, the, I think that's a great point to seize on with all season win totals. It's always, it's still really good. The other thing is, and I always like to say this, and we were talking about this a little off the air, is, you know, just a couple stats, whatever your belief system is in the NFL right now. And I should also point out, just, I was trying to indicate that just because you write more words, you're smarter than the person who doesn't, because oftentimes you write more words and then your bet is wrong and the person who just gives you a couple sentences is right. But just to just sort of just shatter our thinking about the NFL, there were an NFL record 5 playoff teams last year coming off 11-plus loss seasons that made the playoffs. So think about how you felt about the Patriots, the Jaguars, the Bears, the Panthers, and the Niners. They all made the playoffs. 3 teams in NFL history have gone from a 13-plus loss season to a 13-plus win season. 2 of those happened last year, the Jaguars and the Patriots. So, again, whatever we think we know, we probably don't know as much as we think we do. Things happen in this league in a way that they didn't used to, right? In the 80s and 70s and, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s was much more straightforward pre-free agency. And now it's just absolute mayhem from year to year, mostly, not in all cases, but in many cases it is. To baseball, you have a couple plays today for us. What do you have, Adam?
Yeah, I think real quick on that Jaguars and Patriots thing, both of those teams with new head coaches last year.
Yeah.
You know, we got 10 of them, almost a third of the league this season. So things could get kind of wild. Things could get kind of crazy. I think it should be a great NFL season. And getting that guide next Monday, you know, maybe the start of it for you, maybe the start of doing your research. I encourage you to head to VSiN.com/subscribe and get that early bird special, you know, for the football package, because that includes the NFL guide and our college football guide, which will be Monday, August 3rd.
Ooh.
As far as the baseball side of things goes, over 100 runs were scored in the Athletics homestand here at Las Vegas Ballpark. And now they're going back to Sacramento. They played some very, very long games in this draining Vegas heat. I can tell you, having been in Texas and South Carolina over the last week and a half, I will take the dry heat any day of the week. Humidity is awful, but it's still a lot to be standing out there, to be, you know, trying to go through your process playing here in Las Vegas when it's as hot as it is. And those games are as long as they were. Now they go back home, and I can see a little bit of a letdown here from the A's while they're in Sacramento. I like the Pirates at plus money today with Jared Jones on the bump. Also for JT Ginn, you know, he had that near no-hitter a few starts ago, right? Took it into the 9th inning, gave up a single, then the walk-off 2-run homer. Since then, hasn't really looked great. 3.60 ERA, but expected ERA over 4, FIP over 4. He's walking a lot of guys, giving up a lot of hard-hit contact. I think that start really took a lot out of him. And of course, you know, a rough outing here in Vegas, as most guys had. But I'm looking to fade JT Ginn right now. And I think Carmen McGinsky, who has been moved to the bullpen for the Pirates, could end up following Jared Jones in this one. Ginn's got some platoon issues against lefties. The Pirates' best hitters are all lefties. I think this is a worthwhile look here with the Pirates at plus money in Sacramento.
Sutter Health Park. Before they were playing in Vegas, we were firing on all the overs there. So, not a tremendous environment change, but anything from here, I guess, is somewhat of an environment change. Then it's the Rays of the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine tonight. What are you playing there?
Yeah, so we'll see how this one goes, right? I mean, you got 2 pitch-to-contact guys, and it's not hot in Chavez Ravine yet, wind blowing out a little bit, so we'll see if it's a good night for the bats or not. But Nick Martinez goes for the Rays tonight. Admittedly, you know, 2.43 ERA, 4.45 expected ERA. When your expected ERA is 2 runs higher than your ERA, it's very hard for me to like you. But I think with a veteran like Martinez here, I think the way that you kind of neutralize this Dodgers offense, if you can, is to really keep them off balance. And his best pitch is a changeup. It always has been. He's been very good against lefties throughout his career to neutralize that platoon split. And the Dodgers are probably going to throw 7 lefties at him tonight. So I think Martinez has the chance to survive. He's also a strike thrower, doesn't walk anybody. Dodgers, of course, a big tenet of their offense is drawing walks, as it always is with so many feared hitters in that lineup. But Eric Lauer, you know, another journeyman here, both journeymen in this game. The Dodgers just, I don't know, they just do this, right? They just find dudes, and all of a sudden they get this Dodger magic. five runs on 12 hits and 16 and a third for Eric Lauer. He's given up four home runs, but the Rays don't hit home runs. They're dead last in the league in hitting home runs. So even though people are kind of applauding this offense, they don't do it with the long ball. I think it's a game that can stay under tonight. I played under 9.5, -120 in this one.
I love it. Okay. Adam, appreciate it as always. Again, the NFL betting guide 1 week from today. All of our homework due on Thursday, correct? That is the homework deadline for those of us who may not have submitted our work yet. And then the college football, it has to wait, right? Because you don't know who's playing for who until August, right? Essentially. That's how it goes. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, guys.
Adam Burke, everybody, with his Guardians hat mocking me right to my face. Come back. They got a hydration break. We're going to take one as well in the soccer game. Coming back.